I'm delighted to welcome to the Radio Cafe Colin Quinn. He is going to be at the Lensic Center for Performing Arts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Friday night, performing an evening of comedy called Colin Quinn Unconstitutional. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
So you're coming to Santa Fe with a comedy evening, a comedy piece about the U.S. Constitution. How did you come up with this? And, like, how do you find the humor in this document that so many people are almost universally reverent about?
Yeah, the humor is in the fact that it really did make us the kind of people we are, for better and for worse, you know? And so that's where the humor is, how it was these people that came up with this idea that was an amazing idea that, like you said, everyone's reverent about it. People disagree about everything in this country, but everybody agrees they love the Constitution. Left, the right, you know, it doesn't matter. Lawyers, criminals, anybody, you know, soccer moms. Everybody loves it, but it is funny that it kind of gave us our national personality, which is one of my themes of my show.
What are some examples of that?
That we're very equality-minded people. Like, nobody thinks anybody is better than them, really. But at the same time, we're very, you know, out for ourselves. Everybody's out for number one, you know? And that's all from the Constitution, that's what the Bill of Rights says, too.
So how did you put the show together, and what did you discover about the Constitution and the many interpretations of the Constitution when you were putting the show together?
Well, I mean, I discovered, obviously, that they were drinking the whole time. I discovered that it was, like, such a great, like, cynical document. And I discovered that one-third of them walked out and didn't even sign it, including a few big names. If you call George Mason a big name, but, you know, once you're engulfed in something like this, I actually think of George Mason as a big name. So it shows I've obviously gotten too far into it. And that there was that big Federalist Papers was just a fight in the newspapers about the Constitution, because a lot of people were saying this is bullshit, you know, like, we don't like this. And so they were basically defending it in the newspaper. That's what the Federalist Papers was. Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and Madison. So, you know, it's just interesting to see that it wasn't like it wasn't this thing where everybody goes, this is amazing. You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of people didn't like it. And to discover that the South and North were fighting even then, you know, it was a big, that conflict started there. And it only, you know what I mean? Like, that at the Constitution was where it first began, South and North. And the conflicts, you know, red state, blue state, whatever you want to call it. And it's almost got off on the wrong foot there, just like Eli Manning when they hiked the ball over his head and the safety began that game, you know?
It's interesting. I was watching your piece, Long Story Short, on Netflix last night with my 13-year-old friend. And at a certain point, she turned to me and she said, I am being entertained, and yet I am learning things. And I thought that was great, because that's sort of, like it or not, not only are we laughing our butts off, but we're also kind of learning a few things about history as we listen to you.
All jokes aside, that almost brought, like, a swelling to my heart. I was so happy when you said that. I was like, oh, I actually love that. That's great. If I could do that, that would be amazing, especially for 13-year-old kids. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what I think this show has a similar thing, in that it's just sketchy. You know, it's like not anybody that's really, like, constitutional scholars would be like, well, you know, you don't mention that this article here. And it's like, no, I cover what I can. I don't want to bore people either. You know, it's like I'm a comedian. So I want to make sure that the laughs come all the time while I'm still saying what I think is important.
Now, do your own political leanings enter into the piece?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess everybody's political leanings enter into everything they do, really. But the problem is my political leanings are hard to lean, you know. It's hard to lean either way. I mean, in my opinion, I feel like there's so many things in it. I discuss in the show that I'm pro-gun and I'm pro-gay marriage and I'm pro-choice and I'm pro-death penalty, and that makes me anti-overcrowding. So,
right.
You know, so it's like my political leanings, I can't imagine fitting in with either party ever. I just can't. I can't imagine the way the parties, you know, it's only natural, but the way they're both myopic on certain things and the way they decide to excuse certain things because it's on the right for the greater good. It's just, it's business as usual, but I wouldn't exactly say I would have political leanings. I mean, I'm a registered Democrat, but if I could just vote independent my rest of my life, I would, you know.
Now, do you modify your performance at all depending on the response that you're getting back from the audience?
No, I'm not that good. I'm not capable of it. If I was, I might, but I can't because, you know, modifying a show like this. I mean, I modify the show based on the state I'm in as far as I try to mention that state. You know what I mean? Even though New Mexico is really, them and Arizona were like this whole entire Arizona territories. But, I mean, yeah, I can't modify it because we'd screw up the whole show. And it seems like it gets a similar reaction in blue and red states so far. Interesting. But there's definitely areas where I feel tightness in the audience in different areas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of a weird, it's a weird vibe to listen. I feel like this whole country, I almost feel like it makes me a little sad sometimes because everybody's just so divided and so like, you know, it's just a strange thing. Like this, to me, this show shouldn't even be in any way like controversial or whatever. You know, it's not really that controversial once people see it, but you know what I mean? We've gotten into this state in this country where people are just walking on eggshells or not walking on eggshells, whatever. It's just a strange country right now, in my opinion. A little bit phony, too. But there's no, I haven't noticed any discernible difference in the red and blue states.
Well, I think what's great about comedy is that you can kind of poke fun at those divisions and those walking on eggshells in a way that serious commentators can't do so much.
That's correct. I agree. We're really lucky, you know. And that's why you always have to make sure that it's like the joke has to come first. Because if you're up there trying to give your opinion, you know, unless you're like one of the four geniuses that probably existed in history, then nobody wants to hear my opinion. You know what I mean? And they shouldn't, because my whole thing is if I'm funny and I can get my opinion, that's great. But be funny first, because I advertise as a comedian. I'm not there trying to get applause in the middle of my show. You know, like one thing I hate is when people try to go for applause, like, we agree with you. It's like, so what? I'm a comedian. I want to make you laugh. I want an involuntary response of laughter.
Right.
And then I know you agree. We laughed. We all agree life is absurd or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we all know, you know, laughter is agreement in a certain way, you know, or at least acknowledgement like, hey, look, everybody's got their crazy thing, you know?
So we don't have a lot of comedy performance here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and just tell us a little bit about what the comedy scene is like in New York City, where you're from.
Well, first of all, the thing in New York is everybody kind of gravitates there more or less, you know, at least a lot, most people. Some people go to L.A. or New York because everybody wants to get successful and famous and money, so they go to New York and L.A. But at the same time, people in New York go because they also want to be like, hey, I want to be a comedian. Like the dream of what a comedian meant in our image, you know what I mean? Like the archetype of somebody doing some variation of Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor, standing on a stage and, you know, in some basement and blah, blah, blah. So I feel like everybody comes to New York with a little bit of that in them, you know? And then there's so many comedy scenes in the country, but in general in New York too. There's like the New York, regular New York traditional comedy scene. Then you have the alternative scene. Then you have like sort of like these open mic type things that are sort of a little alternative, but a real little stand-up. So there's all combinations. And most of the good young guys, you know, they kind of straddle all three, you know. Most of the good, any young comedians you see straddle all three of these.
Uh-huh.
I, of course, don't include myself because young would be stretching way off the big, you know. But I mean, but there's a lot of comedy nights is what I'm saying. So there's no scene. There's too many. It's too big to call it a scene.
Right.
But it's not a, you know, it's not like every night everyone's flocking to comedy clubs. You can go somewhere and there's six people. But it's still part of comedy in a certain way, you know. And like a lot of times, like I performed this show at this place, Creek and Cave, which is where my director was from, Rebecca Trent. And a lot of times I'd look in the audience and I'd be like, that was a pretty good crowd. It was like eight people. But it was all comedians, like open micers, just coming to see somebody like me because they live out there. I'll go see how this guy works, you know. Maybe it'll help me or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? So it's so funny. Like it's sort of an incestuous scene too, in a way.
Right. Very interesting. Well, we're delighted that you will be coming to Santa Fe tomorrow night, Friday the 7th of February.
Thanks.
The performance is called Colin Quinn Unconstitutional, and we will get to both learn and laugh about the U.S. Constitution. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
And let's hear a little bit of material from Colin Quinn.
And the NRA, well, if you want to talk about guns, talk to the experts, the NRA. The NRA, because you think the NRA represents gun owners. If I was a gun owner, I would tell the NRA, look, you guys don't represent me anymore. These guys are not too swift. After the Sandy Hook horror, the head of the NRA goes, guys, we're going to make a statement. We're going to wait a few days. I was like, oh, yeah, they know it's serious too. You know what I mean? They're waiting a few days because this is like a game, psychic game changer for everybody. The guy after 5 days comes out, he goes, I tell you, we came up with a solution. Like, all right, they know guns. They don't, you know, we're going to give teachers guns. You're kidding, right? No, no, what's the solution? First of all, that's the thing during the first day when somebody goes, all right, ideas, guys. Teachers guns. Shut up, man. What are you doing? Serious stuff. First of all, you don't give teachers guns. Because guns change the whole dynamic of every interaction. These teachers are going to be going out of classrooms. Where's your homework? I didn't do it. This motherfucker. Yes, this kid told me to go myself. What's going on? I've got 2 days in a row. Plus, teachers get graded standardized testing now. They're getting paid by how the kids do at school. You tell me some dumb kids aren't going to get accidentally shot. She's like, I was leaning over to help with the assignment.